I wonder what your backpack of worries is like, so to speak. I wonder what you're carrying in that bag and how it feels on your shoulders. Is it feeling light or is it sort of pulling back? Is it making you feel uncomfortable? Are you just struggling under the burden of it? What is your backpack of worries feeling like today? Well, let me change the question around and make it even simpler. Do you worry? Do you worry? Is there anything that you're anxious or worried about today? I think the probable answer is yes for a lot of folks. But I just want you to be thinking just for a few seconds. Do you worry? And what is on your mind and in your heart now? What is it that you might be worrying about? Most of you who know me know that despite the fact that I am a Christian minister and a leader in the church, I do struggle sometimes with worry and anxiety. I do worry. I utterly believe in the grace of God. I utterly believe in the grace of God and in Jesus Christ as Lord of my life. I utterly believe that. I'm completely convicted of it. Yet, even as a Christian minister, I worry. Sometimes, I guess, family experiences or cultures or habits can pass down the behaviour or the reactions of worry, whatever it might be. Maybe if you think back to your past and your family relationships and your experiences, maybe there might be a part played in that. Other times, things of life just seem to crowd in. There's so much going on. All the pressures and expectations of modern life and culture which seem to infect us and impact our behaviour. I'm using a lot, you might have heard me say it, but I'm using it in my own head as I think about it, this word infect. I see it, the sort of the drivenness of life and everything else around us, I see it like a sort of an invisible dew, you know, moisture that comes down and is around us all the time, every single moment of every day. From the moment we turn on the news, from the moment we walk out and see the world rushing around, from the moment we open our email boxes up, whatever that might be, from the temptations and desires and other things around us, we can't see it, but it's like a sort of a dew lands on our skin, doesn't it, and infects us and impacts us every single day. Just exhausting thinking about it. What is it that is maybe infecting and impacting your life that causes you to worry? Or indeed, we may genuinely be caring and carrying deep care and concern for those we love. An understandable anxiety and worry. Do you worry? The 19th century Christian minister and theologian George MacDonald said, "Tomorrow makes today's whole head sick, his whole heart faint. When we should be still, sleeping or dreaming, we are fretting about an hour that lies a half sun's journey away. Not so do you, Lord." I have to say, I'm feeling tired today. And again, some of my brothers and sisters who've been travelling with me would know that I've been worried about something. But it doesn't matter what that is. You know, we all have our worries. But when I read that passage, that quotation from George MacDonald, I thought, yup. It makes your whole head sick, doesn't it? It physically and emotionally and environmentally and everything impacts you and affects you. When we should be still, sleeping or dreaming, we are fretting about an hour that lies a half sun's journey away. Not so do you, Lord. So as I've read and prayed and studied for this sermon today, I have asked God to speak freshly to me and also to all of us, to you too, as we look at this from another perspective, from the way that Jesus puts the question, Why do you worry? Why do you worry? And the fantastic thing about Holy Scripture is that we recognize in our frailty as human beings that we are not God. We do struggle with life and all that infects and impacts us. But every day we can go back to the Word of God. We can be refreshed and freshly encouraged and renewed and revived and given new hope by God's grace through this. And Jesus says, why do you worry? This is such a well-known passage in the Bible, Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 33. Why do you worry? And in this passage, we have the words of Jesus himself in his Sermon on the Mount. But I want you to note how our passage starts. What is the word that starts? It starts, therefore, verse 25. Does it start that in your Bibles? I'm just checking. I think it didn't. That's the same in everyone's version of Sunday Rhythm. Therefore, it's a link. Whatever it is, it's a link. And if we think about the grammar, we would note that this therefore is a word which usually brings with it an inference or a consequence from something else, something that has been said before. So I want you just to briefly glance back to the verses before, where it talks in verses 19 to 24 about treasures in heaven. Just glance at that for a moment. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, etc. So when Jesus says at the beginning of our passage, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is life not more important than food and the body more important than clothes? What he is saying is, therefore, do not worry, because, looking back at those verses that have come before, transient earthly treasures don't satisfy and don't last. He is saying, do not worry, because our moral and spiritual vision is easily distorted and pulled out of shape. He is saying, do not worry, because a choice must be made between God and money. No one can serve two masters, said this passage beforehand. Do not worry, he says, because the kingdom of God demands unswerving allegiance. And that is the essence of this whole passage. That's the key of this whole passage. The kingdom of God asks for us, all of ourselves, all of us. Therefore, if you are a part of this kingdom of God, if you are a part of this light, this choice of God rather than a choice of the world, do not worry about the things of the world, Ian and everybody here and everybody listening. Trust in God's provisions, care, and love. But you may think, it's all very well to say this, and indeed we can see the logic, can't we, when we look at it like this? And we're all going to go from here, of course, today, far more determined, genuinely, to do so much more, not to worry. And we might say it's all very well for us here and now not to worry about material possessions. But what about the basic necessities of life that so many people in the world struggle to obtain? Well, in effect, Jesus answers that when he says, just as earthly possessions can become idols, which sort of knock God off, depose God by becoming disproportionately important to us. So as well, our earthly needs can become a source of worry so great to you and me day by day that they too can knock God out of the way. And I look back over the last few weeks and I know that I have knocked God out of the way and put worry where he should have been. All these things can depose God, knock God off and out of where he should be. Because what they do is they end up sort of fostering and building a distrust in God. Is God being replaced by worry? But of course, the way we respond to these verses may also depend on what our particular situation is day by day. Of course it does. There are some people within our community here and in our lives who are carrying to us unimaginable burdens of concern and anxiety. Corrie ten Boom, who I've quoted before, who survived the Nazi concentration camp at Ravensbrück but saw her family killed and dying, said, "Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength." Does that speak to you? That really speaks to me. Worry doesn't empty tomorrow of its sorrow, but it empties today of its strength. So what do you worry about? Economic growth or property prices? Grown-up children living many miles away? Younger children at school? About wars? Rumours of wars, work, relationships, those facing really, really difficult situations whom we love and we can't see, illness, reputation. It goes on and on and on, doesn't it? But what real knowledge of these things do we have to base our worry on? In other words, if we think about worry in all its different forms, we can perhaps see that there are many different sorts of worry. One sort of worry is the sort that can be both, I was trying to find the words when I was writing this, both improper and harmful. In that, if it's the sort of worry which results in us being impatient or having distorted values about how we look at life, or lopsided priorities about how we approach things. For example, to give a sort of a rather lightweight example, disproportionate worry about the tidiness of our house leading to negative opinions of others, or us neglecting other more important things. Well, then that's wrong worry. It's worry that gets in the way of trust in God. It's worry like seed planted with so much promise, which grows so promisingly initially, but then is overcome by the thorn bushes and has life choked out of it. It's in a way insidiously corrupting worry. And then there's that other sort of worry, which is simply the worry of the follower of Jesus Christ to be faithful and to be useful. Am I doing any good? Am I good enough? I don't have the same gifts and talents as X or Y. Am I helping or am I hindering? In the letters of Paul, we see very clearly that Paul himself lived and ministered with the sort of commitment not only to become more like Jesus himself, but also to fight a battle of faith on behalf of the ever-increasing number of people who then were beginning to follow Jesus. And he felt all the pressures and concerns of the early church. In 2 Corinthians, Paul spoke about the many hardships and sufferings he faced when he said, "Besides everything else, I face the daily pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I do not feel weak," said Paul. "Who is led into sin and I do not inwardly burn." A Christian can rightly be concerned about sin, about wrongdoing. No wonder the journey of faith can sometimes be described as being involved in a wrestling match. We often do struggle and we often do wrestle, don't we, with life. But the point here is that none of these sorts of worries is purely selfish worry. Concerns, I guess, is a less emotive word. And such concerns as these are, in reality, they're essentially God-directed and guided rather than self-directed and guided. Look at the last verse of our reading today from Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. "Therefore, do not worry," says Jesus, "about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." It is as if Jesus recognizes that there may indeed be some unavoidable worry after all. But let's restrict it. Let's restrict this sort of concern to the concerns of today. Our gracious Heavenly Father intends us to take one step of life at a time. And this is where you and I have to be wise and discerning and thoughtful when we read these verses in Matthew and when we consider what we worry about in life. Are they worries or concerns as a result of looking at things from the perspective of God, through the lenses of God, seeking His will to be done in whatever that situation is, and remembering day by day the compassion and providence of God, all that can dispel our worry and anxiety? Look at the birds of the air, the lilies of the field. Or are they worries which in truth reflect a huge shortage in confidence in God about His love for us and His ability to care for us by whatever means that is? When you and I worry, are we looking at life through God's eyes or through our own? And please let us never forget the vital, vital place of prayer and thanksgiving in bringing us both God's peace for whatever we might be thinking about and facing, and also the strength to overcome whatever those worries might be. Remember those famous words of Paul again to the church in Philippi? "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends, which overcomes, which covers all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." So, a reminder, St. Matthew's, today, again, in this way, in this world where we can be infected and impacted so insidiously by everything else that's around us. Remember, when we think about those words, that Paul is showing us the way to overcome our worry moment by moment, day by day. So what for you and me today as we go from here now? Shall we think about the things we worry about? I think it's a good thing to name them. Really important. Perhaps for some that will mean literally going away and writing on a piece of paper all the things that we are worried about, naming them. So shall we think about the things we worry about, and then look at them through God's eyes. Shall we today present our requests on everything with thanksgiving, even if we're struggling to find that thanksgiving, with thanksgiving for the abundance and beauty of God's grace and provision for us? Shall we present our requests on everything with thanksgiving to the one who created us and loves us? And shall we pray for the people of the world? For example, praying for them that even in their moments of utter desperation, they can and will somehow trust in the overwhelming love and goodness of God. "Why do you worry?" said Jesus. "Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to their life?" "Why do you worry?" said Jesus. And I'm going to finish with another quote from Corrie ten Boom, who said, "When I look at the world, I get distressed. When I look at myself, I get depressed. When I look at Jesus, I find rest." Amen.